Welcome back to Match Volume. I'm Emma Dessau, and I am so excited to announce that our faithful volunteer, Sarah Bregman, is joining me this summer as a co-producer and host.
Yay! I'm so happy to continue to be involved.
This week, we're highlighting some USC student work. We've got two fun interviews in this episode, and the first is with Jonathan Pritchard, a professional mentalist or mind reader.
In this episode, Jonathan shares what mentalism is and why he believes this is a skill that anyone can learn.
Without further ado, this is Celine Chenoy's conversation with Jonathan Pritchard.
You don't know it yet, but I deserved every bit of that applause. Thank you. Thank you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Anybody get that? Anybody?
So first things first, help us understand what it is you do for a living. What is mentalism or mind reading, as it's sometimes called?
So as a job, I help companies connect to people and opportunities. And that comes from my work as a mentalist, which is essentially a magician that specializes in mind reading tricks. So basically, a mentalist is on stage making a room full of intelligent, logical human beings think that I can read their minds.
Okay. And what is the psychology behind mind reading? How does it work?
Mind reading and mentalism works off applied psychology, showmanship, and moxie. Just having the gumption to stand on stage and Yes, the word for it is lying. That's really how it works. So basically, a mentalism show is the mentalist does and says exactly the right things at the right time in the right way to get the audience to have an experience that is impossible. So it looks like I can read minds, predict the future, influence people's choices, but it's solely a function of understanding how people interact with fundamental reality, kind of how your senses inform your brain.
Look at me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It is a 2. Sir, it's a mind reading show.
But sometimes it does seem like magic when you see a mentalist just guess a random number that an audience is thinking of. It seems like it's impossible, as you described.
Right. And that is the function of making it look easy, which is incredibly difficult. So that's kind of the trick of magic, is making it look effortless, which is actually years worth of practice and dedication of studying reality.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we apply the principles of mind reading to improve our thinking and use our mind's full potential?
The way to start to think about how to use your mind's potential is to realize you're actually not that great of a communicator. So to start, you really have to examine, how are other people thinking? What is their perspective? What's their experience? How are they interacting with this moment? And the real secret in applying this stuff in classes, at work, with your friends, everything, is asking more questions. You think you know how other people think, but you don't actually. You're projecting your ideas into what you think is their mind. The only way to really understand how somebody else thinks is to ask better and better questions, and then being open to the answers that they give you.
So what you're essentially saying is enter into their world and see the world through their eyes.
Exactly. And to help put down your idea of what you think they're saying, and then ask more questions to better understand their perspective. Most people are really bad at asking questions. They're really good about talking about themselves. They're really good about assuming what you think other people think about you. And they're really bad at actual communication and connecting with the minds of the people in their life.
Interesting. So in addition to becoming more aware of other people's reality and asking more questions, what more can we do to connect better with people and become better communicators in the process?
It really, really does boil down to ask more questions and don't punish honesty. We want to ask questions for the other person to read what we already think and what we already believe and what we already want to hear. And if somebody tells you something that isn't what you want to hear, and then you get upset or angry or start arguing with them, you've just told them that they can't trust you with the truth. They can't be honest with you. And that shows up in all sorts of relationship dynamics. So if you really want to connect with people, you have to ask for the truth and be able to hold space for them to be honest with you. So many movies would be so much shorter if the main characters were better communicators, right? The whole 2-hour movie is from a single misunderstanding. And it could have been a 3-minute exchange of, no, I don't want you to go do that. I was asking you to do this. Oh, okay. Movie ends. Right. Yeah. drama is the function of poor communication.
That is so true. Jonathan, thank you so much for making time to be on the show today.
You are super welcome. And again, thanks for letting me share my ideas. I genuinely appreciate it.
That was Jonathan Pritchard and Celine Chenoy.
For our second segment, we'll jump into an entrepreneurial conversation with Danny Newman about his innovative online dating app, Dandy.
Dandy offers a live dating app that aims to get people interacting with each other instead of passively swiping through profiles.
As someone who used to spend a lot of time on dating apps, I am excited to hear what this is all about. This is Molly Hirsch with Danny Newman.
Dandy is advertised as the world's first speed dating app. What does this mean? What is Dandy?
So the way that Dandy works is we go live at a certain time. So it's not like traditional dating apps that you can just go on and use passively whenever you want. This is very much an active product. And so we notify everyone, all of our users, that Dandy is live, and they all jump in right then and there. And then they're guaranteed to be looking at a profile of a person while that person is looking at a profile of them at the exact same time. And if they both like each other, they can immediately start chatting back and forth. It's meant to solve the time and effort it takes to find a quality person. And so it's, you know, because it's not passive and it's active, instead of just sitting there and matching and responding days or weeks later, the difference here is that it's real time and it's as human as possible, meaning that you're conversing back and forth essentially instantly and can immediately find out if you're interested in a person and want to take it offline.
So you mentioned this goal of connecting people and not having people sort of passively swiping right. Are there any sort of happy ending stories of people who've met and actually formed relationships from the app that you can share?
Yeah. In terms of relationships, as far as our beta, which was a year and a half ago, our longest standing relationship was since then. So it's, you know, 1.5 years and they're still going strong.
According to a business data platform called Statista.com, just last year alone, about 30.4 million people in the United States used online dating services. That's about 10% of the US population, just to put that into perspective. This number has increased each year from 2017 and is expected to continue this upward trend and hit 35.4 million users in the year 2024. I know that Dandy, you just mentioned, has only been around for about a year and a half since its beta period, but have you noticed an upward trend in Dandy's user base?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you that there's always been a sort of stigma against dating apps, especially back in the early days when Tinder first came out. And all of that. And these, you know, growth metrics are pure reflection of the stigma sort of getting less and less and people being more and more okay using dating apps and not feeling like they need to use dating apps or that they, I guess, are not put down as much by society for using them. And so people are now confident. They're excited. We see in the 1.5 to 2 years of using that people are more and more open to using dating apps. And so we've seen that growth on our end for sure.
You keep saying we. I understand that you have a long and unique relationship with your business partner, your co-founder, Lior Misaki. Can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with each other and what your partnership is like?
Yeah, so I've known Lior since preschool. We went to preschool together, elementary, middle, high school, roommates in college. He's the creative genius behind all of this. He has 500 different ideas and problems and solutions in his notes, and is just always thinking about different products and our product, obviously, our roadmap, all of that. And so he's the true ideator behind all of this. I'm much more on the execution side, what a lot of people call the boring stuff, but it's definitely a good match to have two opposites in this.
What is it like working with a friend, especially someone who you've been so close with over so many years?
In a startup where you already have a 99% chance of failure, there's some really huge downsides and sort of downs that you go through as a company that, your emotional connection and all of that gets you through. And a lot of times you don't have that when you go into business with a co-founder who you just met or met through work. And that's where a lot of companies can actually die.
You know, now during this quarantine period, people are lonely and people are turning to social media for ways to connect. What is it like managing a dating app during this quarantine period? And are people actively using the app?
Yes. So we're not live on the App Store right now. We're actually rebuilding a version even quicker now because of coronavirus. And, although it is terrible for the world in terms of lives, economies, but in terms of any business that's in a sort of matchmaking, online social or dating space, those are the ones that are really booming right now because people feel lonely, people feel the need to connect. And so whatever platforms can do that are shooting up right now, dating included. And so we're working as hard as we can to get back up and on the App Store as quickly as possible.
Why is it not on the App Store right now? Yep. Why is it not available?
So we launched a previous version, which we've gotten a lot of feedback on. There's something really exciting that we're about to launch, and in this sort of intermediary phase, sustain everything and make sure everything goes up while also changing the entire application. And so we're launching something really exciting very soon, and they're all excited to sort of jump back on it when it's live.
Can you share any details about what you guys are about to launch?
So it's similar to the live concept. The whole idea, again, without getting too specific, is that it feels even more like real life. And so you're able to, right off the bat, start having conversations and messaging in real time before there's even, liking or anything like that. And that allows you to really vet someone's personality, which is what a lot of our user feedback has been centered around, is getting personality up front as opposed to later on. And so this is our initiative to try to make that happen.
Now, I got to ask, do you use the app? And have you made any love connections yourself from using it yet?
Yeah, so I definitely have used it. Unfortunately, a lot of the user base, fortunately, is in the East Coast and other schools. And so I use it basically just for feedback. I jump on there, talk back and forth, try to find out what people love, hate about the app. That's what's much more important to me. So yeah, I do use it for that.
So you're not trying to meet anybody. You're just trying to get some feedback.
Not yet. Focus on the business for now.
All right. That comes later. And as I mentioned earlier, the future of online dating users is projected to increase over the years. And it sounds like you guys are continuously evolving even as we speak. How do you see Dandy fitting into the online dating space in the years to come?
I see us leading that growth. The same way, Tinder revolutionized dating and made all these people who, in college especially, Match.com eHarmony was sort of like this old, weird website, and Tinder was, an order of magnitude better in the sense of being mobile first, a lot of the mechanics they introduced, being the first time that college students have ever really used a dating platform. So in the same way, it's been a couple of years since then, and we're looking to have that same sort of effect with Gen Z. Of dating.
That was Dani Newman speaking with Molly Hirsch.
That's all we've got for today, folks. We hope that you enjoyed this original work by a few of our USC peers and their awesome guests.
As always, Match Volume is a production by Annenberg Media through USC's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
I'm Emma Dessau.
And I'm Sarah Bringman.
Thanks for stopping by.